Så vi kan kunna ha ett ang babang luksa ni natividad, and then tomorrow ang babang luksa ni Remedios. So we're remembering them in this mass, and also Brother Boy, whose second death anniversary is tomorrow. After I announced that, I said the theme of today's mass is here on the song sheet: "The Lord sent me to bring good tidings to the poor." You might wonder, where did that come from? It's not in the gospel. It's not, I read from Mark chapter 2. It's not even in the whole gospel of Mark. It comes from the gospel of Luke, and it was chosen for today's Alleluia verse, or gospel acclamation. It comes from Luke chapter 4. So what I'd like to do is reflect a little bit on this verse: "The Lord sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor," in relation to Jesus, and then in relation to Levi, who is in today's gospel, and then to us. And I'd like to use a little bit of insight from today's saint. Today we honor Saint Hilary of Poitiers, the 4th century French bishop and doctor of the church. I hope it doesn't get too complicated, but that's what we're doing. So focus especially on Jesus, of course, then with a little help from Saint Hilary, and then focus on Levi or Matthew, and then on us. Okay, so this theme, "The Lord sent me to bring good tidings to the poor," or the whole verse says, "to bring good tidings, glad tidings to the poor, and to proclaim liberty to captives." Jesus says this, but he says it when he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah. So remember that time when he goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, and he gets the scroll, he opens the scroll, and he picks out this verse, Isaiah chapter 61. He says that "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, he has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, and liberty to captives, and a year of favor from the Lord." So it's Jesus picking out an old prophecy, some 900 years before him, and reading it to the people, and then he says, "This is fulfilled in your hearing." You remember that passage. So it's on the words of, it's on the lips of Jesus, but he's quoting Isaiah. I think that's why in this translation, it uses this old term "tidings." No one ever uses that word in English. "Tidings" is a kind of obsolete word. But and when I looked it up in Isaiah 61, it said, "The Lord has sent me to bring good news to the poor." Good news is the modern way of saying it. You could almost translate it as gospel. "The Lord has sent me to bring the gospel to the poor," except the word gospel is much, it has been enriched since Jesus came, and Isaiah wouldn't have known the term gospel the way we know it. So good news is probably a better way of saying it. But this says glad tidings. Maybe because, I don't know why they kept the old language, maybe because Jesus was quoting from a prophet and they wanted to sound like he's talking about something from of old. So if we use old language, we're referring to the past. But Jesus' whole point is that this isn't something from the past. This is being fulfilled in your hearing. This is right now. This is the good news. In fact, Jesus himself is the good news. When he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me," that should remind us of what we celebrated on Monday, right? The baptism of the Lord. Because at the baptism, Jesus enters the waters, the voice of the Father says, "This is my beloved Son," and the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. He's anointed by the Spirit. That event of the baptism shows the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in unity, the Trinity. When Jesus says, "The Lord sent me to bring good tidings to the poor," the Lord, the one who sent him, that refers to God the Father. The "me" is Jesus. "The Lord sent me to bring good tidings to the poor." So there's a sender and there's one being sent. Now, the problem with that kind of language is, and this is where we bring in St. Hilary, people thought that Jesus was not the same, he wasn't equal to the Father, he wasn't equal to God. This is the error known as Arianism. And in the days of St. Hilary, this was a really big problem. In fact, for the whole 4th century, it was a big problem. This debate about who this Jesus is in relation to God. Now, the father said, this is my son. So everyone acknowledged that Jesus is somehow the son of God. But that made some people think, well, he's not really equal to the father. He's sent by the father. He's a representative of the father. He comes from the father. And at baptism, he takes on this mission. Well, Hilary, St. Hilary, realized there's a big problem here. Because if you think that Jesus is not equal to the Father, that means the Father, in sending someone, is holding something back. He's not really sending everything he has to give. And the truth is, when the Father sent the Son, he sent himself. He sent his whole gift. He pours his whole identity, his whole divinity into the Son, and he gives his whole self in the Son to the world. And so St. Hilary fought very hard and at great cost to defend the equality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which eventually got enshrined in the Creed, where we say Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He's equal to the Father. He's eternally begotten of the Father. He's sent by the Father. He's the Word of the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father. Okay, so that's who Jesus is saying he is when he says, the Lord sent me to bring good tidings to the poor. Okay. Once we understand who he is, we have to understand why he has been sent. Because our idea of God is typically power, dominance, authority, a bit of intimidation. Because if we get someone who's all powerful, well, he must be scary. And that's another reason why the Arians were so convincing to people, because if God is going to send someone, he's not going to come himself. He's not going to come himself into the world. Come on, that's how people argue. But in fact, no, God himself comes into the world, and he doesn't come as a frightening authority figure. He comes to bring good news to the poor. And Jesus, from the very beginning of his public ministry, extends especially a hand of care to the most neglected of society. We've seen this all week. We're following the daily gospels. He goes to the mother-in-law of Peter, has a fever. He goes to drives the demons out of the possessed people. He heals a leper. He even touches a leper. Yesterday he heals a paralyzed man. Today's gospel, he speaks directly to a tax collector. It's like the worst kind of person you could talk to, and invites him to follow him, be one of his disciples. So Jesus is very deliberately bringing good news to the poor, sight to the blind, liberty to the captives, a year of favor. He's bringing the good news, not just to the religious leaders and the people who look good and the people who have standing in the community. He's bringing good news to everybody. The poor represents everybody, because before God, we are all poor. The Anuim should know this. The Anuim are the poor. Everybody's poor in relation to God, because we are dependent on God, because we're sinners, we have offended God, and because we don't have any way to stand with some credentials or some reputation and present ourselves to God. No, we are poor. Now, that's what we see in today's gospel, where Jesus calls Levi. We usually call him Matthew, but the other evangelists call him Levi. And he says, follow me. And Levi says, wow, this man of God, this representative of God, actually called me. And he immediately got up and responded. He followed. Had a big banquet in his house, and he invited all his friends, who happened to be tax collectors, of course. We hang around with people who are like us. So tax collectors and sinners gather in the house, and Jesus is there with his disciples. Now, great that good news is being spread even to the tax collectors and the sinners. Good news, that's the gospel. That's Jesus was sent to do just this thing. The problem comes in when the Pharisees speak up and say, well, that's not good news. That's a scandal. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he defile himself? Why does he ruin his mission from God by hanging around with people who are going to defile him? The attitude behind that is, we're not poor. We're not sinners. We don't need a savior. We are the righteous ones, we're the healthy ones, we're the holy ones, and someone who claims to be holy should be hanging around with us. That's the message that they're giving here. We're not poor, and if you want to hang around with them, well then, we don't want anything to do with you. Jesus' response to this is so beautiful. You know it already. This is so beautiful. Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Okay? Makes sense, right? Those who are well don't need a physician. They're already fine. Those who are perfect don't need a savior. Those who are without sin don't need a redeemer. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So if you think you're righteous, Jesus didn't come for you. If you think you don't need a savior, well then you don't have one. Because he didn't come for people who are full of themselves, self-righteousness. He came for sinners. Okay, so that's the clear message at the end of this first week of ordinary time. Jesus has come. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. His mission is to bring good news to the poor, and the good news is himself. The good news is God is for us. God is with us and is for us. That's the good news. Now, the next step here is that Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, is also sent to bring good news to the poor. Jesus can stand up, read the scripture, and say, I'm fulfilling the scriptures, I'm fulfilling the prophecy, I'm good news to the poor. And if we accept him, well, then we're blessed to have that good news. It takes another step to say, well, wait a minute. It's one thing for God himself to come down and proclaim the gospel. What about this Matthew? Who is he to claim to be sent to bring good news to the poor? This is the marvel of evangelization. The ones whom God sends are the ones whom he saves. The poor are the evangelists of the poor. The sinners who find salvation in Christ are the ones who spread the good news to others who are in need of salvation. You know that famous definition of evangelization. I learned it from Bishop Barron. Evangelization is one hungry person telling another hungry person where to find food. So this is it. Evangelization is the poor who have been enriched in Jesus Christ telling other poor people how to be rich. It's sinners who have encountered the mercy of God telling other sinners about the abundant mercy of God. So anyone, Levi is the example here, anyone who receives good news has a responsibility to share good news. Okay, so it applies to Jesus because Jesus says it about himself. It applies to Levi because in being called, he immediately invites his fellow sinners to the banquet. The last step is it applies to us. It applies to me and to you. Each one of us can say, truthfully, the Lord has sent me to bring good news to the poor. The Lord sends me, as unworthy as I am, as poor as I am, he sends me to bring good news to the poor. Not because I'm better than the poor or better than anyone else, but because I have received something that has to be shared. So that's our theme. The good news is better than the Arians thought. The Arians thought that God had sent some kind of a delegate. The good news is God himself has come among us in Christ. God himself has made the good news one of us and then sent him into the world to bring good news to the poor. That good news spreads from one poor person to another, from one sinner to another. And that's the great dynamic into which we are all called. Jesus says, as he said to Levi, follow me. Our response is, get up and follow him.